Here we go again, episode 10. The chimichanga is currently MIA. I have no idea where this guy is. Hopefully he makes the episode. On the air with me tonight is Deuce Bug. Deuce Bug, how you doing, man?
Yo, good, man. Yeah. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm very glad to have you on the show with me. I'm trying to grow this podcast thing after doing hip-hop for, you know, over 15 years in this state. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to talk to real people about real things. Therefore, here we are. I'm glad you're here. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's always a blast to talk to you, man. So,
oh, thank you, man. So no doubt.
You have an awesome show coming up, and I need to know all about it, you know?
Okay. It's actually a series of shows. Mm-hmm. It's a tour this August, the last weekend in August. It's called Tour for Life, and it is a mental health suicide prevention charity tour of New England, basically. And a New York date to kick it off. I partnered with Mental Health Connecticut to present this tour, actually pre-COVID. And due to everything that went down the last year and a half, you know, I had to postpone it actually twice. But with everything opening back up, we moved forward with it for August 26th through 29th this year. And it's New York, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and the grand finale show in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Nice. We have a different headliner every night, and some pretty dope co-headliners as well, and great regional, local, and national support acts.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to it. It's going to resemble like a mental health fair kind of, with Mental Health Connecticut and a lot of nonprofit organizations with booths, you know, and promotional materials to give out, and right. You know, we'll be talking to the crowd and everything like that, because the whole point is to raise awareness on mental health management and, you know, end the stigma on that, right. Especially with this kind of demographic age group that we kind of targeted for that, which is people our age, you know, like, yeah. 35 to 45, 50 years old, you know, people that grew up loving dope music, like, you know, underground hip hop and punk rock music and all of that. But like, we're never really taught much about mental health in school.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have children. So like, a lot of these issues are very prevalent, and obviously suicide is like the scariest thing ever. I put this tour together because a good friend of mine took his own life a few years back. That was one of the main contributing reasons why, you know, I felt to do this. And, you know, we hope to make an impact, and it's 100% of proceeds to Mental Health Connecticut. So we hope to raise a lot of money for a really dope charity organization as well.
Yeah. It's really cool that you're doing this, man. I mean, I've known you, you know, well over a decade. And you've always been a guy who cared about, like, the community and what people were going through and stuff. And just as an artist, I've always respected your craft, too, you know?
Thank you. Yes, that's true.
Seeing you do what you do, it makes me so happy. You know, I've got my battles with some, you know, mental health issues. I mean, who doesn't, especially in this day and age,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, we all do, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy because I'm starting to, like, understand some shit about myself that I never, like, understood before, you know, just by, like, talking to people and stuff. So, you know, my perspective has completely shifted. You know, when I was younger, in my 20s, like, early 20s, like, all about the hip-hop and shit, I always thought it was, like, a weakness. Like, if you needed to go and talk to somebody about your problems, you know, you're not handling. You know, that's an element of hip hop, man. We, you know, everybody's got that huge ego, and sometimes it's okay to kind of, you know, mm-hmm. hang that up to try to help yourself for the benefit of others around you too. You know?
Well, no, that's the big thing here, man. And that's why, you know, hip hop was a cornerstone for this tour. You know, it's all genres, but all of the headliners are hip hop artists. We've got some legends and some really dope, you know, hip hop headliners involved, as well as co-headliners. You know, we have Rakim, we have Capadonna from Wu-Tang Clan, we have Ritz, Brother Ali, Diabolik and Pace One, the Copyright, Acrobatic, you know, a ton of you know, dope regional artists.
Well, and you know, Pace One is like my brother, right? I love that dude. Me and him are tight. Yeah. Like, I got his back always. I'm mad at him right now for petty bullshit reasons, and if he was here, I would clown him, but I still got his back. I always do, you know? It's just, it's just some bullshit, you know, just whatever.
Pace is a good dude. He's a good performer, and I've worked with him plenty of times, but I know you have as well, because he's a real stand-up guy that is always down to work and, you know, puts on a hell of a show. And all the artists that are involved in this, including all the major headliners down to the local opening acts, are 100% on board for this cause. And like, going back to what you just said, you know, with the whole stigma, especially in hip-hop, which is like known to be a tough kind of thing, when you know you get a bunch of tough rapper dudes opening up about their feelings and their mental health and keeping it real with all of that, you know,
it's a tough sale.
Right, but it's an accomplishment and somewhere that we need to get, you know. And I'm so glad and so humbled that like all of these people are down with this cause. And I'm doing a series of ciphers at each show. We're like gonna be filming ciphers about mental health, like all the we're doing a total of 4 ciphers, you know, with Acrobatic and Pace One and Copyright, and all of these ciphers are going to be, the content is 100% about mental health management. So we're really trying our hardest to like to spread that awareness and, you know, kill the stigma, especially within these genres and subgenres and demographics of underground indie music, because you know that's also an area where we see a lot of suicides, lot of people taking their own life and a death to addiction too, which is not far off. And you know, it's an area that we really need to tackle with this thing. And
I agree with you 1,000%, man. You know,
yeah, it's, you know, so that's why we're doing it. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, we get a great turnout at all of these shows and raise a lot of money, but more importantly, teach a lot of people a lot of things, because we have a lot of professionals on deck ready to do just that. And anybody that wants to donate, you know, you can buy tickets or hit us up privately, follow us, Full Blast Booking on all, you know, social media platforms. And the tour is called Tour for Life. We've been promoting it so heavy, you know, just look that up. And you'll see all the ticket links and everything.
Yeah, anything I can do to help you out too. I'll probably off air talk to you about maybe throwing you a little dough towards this. But you know, it's a great cause. You know,
thank you, brother. And I hope to see you there, man. You know, personally, you know, this is like the hardest I've ever worked on anything. I've done some pretty big things on the organizational tip before, including 6 years on the Warped Tour, you know, running a stage there. But like on my own with all the eggs in my basket, this is like the biggest thing I've ever done on my own. So like, I really hope to see all the people that give a darn about what I'm doing and people that, you know, respect me and that I love out there to support, especially at the Connecticut show. You know, it's at the Klein in Bridgeport with Capadonna and Rakim.
Yeah, I'll be there.
We have Steal Your Funk, which is like a Grateful Dead tribute band led by Jen Durkin from Deep Banana Blackout, and Chesky is performing, and Vicky F and a bunch of bands, Shane Penguin and Bay State, and it's going to be really dope, man.
It sounds like a hodgepodge of everybody from everywhere, you know?
It's an official festival, you know? It's 2 stages of music. It goes all day. Geets are at noon. Show starts shortly after that, and it will be over by 8 because we're just dealing with daylight. So we've got local vendors, food trucks, a lot of nonprofit organizations on deck with booths, and really looking forward to it, man. The Klein is great, too. Shout out to them. They're a great organization and a great theater that is down to do something like this for me. I did a whole series for them last year in the middle of COVID that did real well. So, yeah, man, overall, I'm just really looking forward to the whole tour, but especially the Connecticut show being
I feel intimidated when I talk to you right now, because I feel like I could have done more now, now that it's like hindsight is 2020, but when the coronavirus hit, I just threw my hands up like, well, that's it. There goes my music career. I guess we're all inside now. It's all done. But you were out there actually in the trenches, still probably flying Bridgeport or whatever, trying to get shit off the ground, which respect, man.
Well, yeah, man.
Respect.
I did my best to stay active during COVID, and we did fundraiser shows for Tour for Life pretty much once a month. I've thought outside the box and did some weird things. Like I rented a movie theater in Ridgefield, Connecticut show. Yeah. Yeah. We did a show at a movie theater, man. And we sold it out. It was dope. I did shows in Manchester, New Hampshire and Long Island and Springfield, Massachusetts with Pace One, actually that one. Dope. And all of them did very well. That's how I was able to bring all these heavy hitters out for Tour for Life, is because I stayed at it fundraising the whole time. You know, I wasn't going to take no for an answer. And I made sure to, it was pretty well documented too, like how I was handling things during COVID in a safe manner. And, you know, just raising money, man, for a really great cause. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a greedy kind of promoter, just, you know, being reckless in the middle of a pandemic trying to make money, you know. It was like somebody exactly, and I was on a mission, man, from, because I had this thing where I had Ritz and Brother Ali confirmed before COVID even happened, you know. I was ready to announce this shit when, and then COVID hit, dude. It was like such a big blow, but it was also a blessing in disguise, because it gave me an extra year to fundraise. And I did this, that I was able to add Rakim and Capadonna to it. So it was a blessing in disguise, man. It made it all the better.
Copyright's and, coming out too, right?
Yeah, copyright's on two of the shows, actually. There's a good friend. He's very, very down with the cause. He's on one of the ciphers as well. And he's doing the New Hampshire and Connecticut shows. So he also produced a song for me on my new album, and he's really been like in tune to everything Full Blast is doing over the last few years. And huge shout out to him, because he's a legend. He's one of my favorite MCs of all time, and just the a super dope human being.
It was like one of the dopest records back in 02 when that dropped.
Facts. And we're actually in talks about booking the because he has the High Exalted 2 that's ready to drop.
No shit.
And it's the 20th anniversary of the High Exalted, so we're going to book the 20th anniversary tour, I think.
That's dope.
Through Full Blast Booking, yeah.
Keep me in the loop on that, because I want to be involved, man. I always love, sure. I love his punchline style, you know?
Yeah, and the multi, you know, the multis, man, that's how I basically learned that, was growing up listening to MCs like Copyright, you know, with the multi rhymes, you know, just so dope, such a dope MC.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. How did you initially link up with him? Because I remember seeing a photo of you and him, like, giving each other dap next to, like, a car. I think he was sitting in a car.
Years ago, I've been booking him for years. I booked him in Bridgeport when I was the booking director for Two Boots. You know, him and Razkaz were on tour. I booked that there, and I also booked his solo tour at Murphy's Law a year or two after that. And we've always stayed in touch.
Yeah.
So he was down with this also before COVID hit.
You know Pat Flaherty? Do you know Pat Flaherty at all? Well,
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's a guy who like takes pro skateboarder footage, and he's friends with Copyright. And I grew up in the southeast corner of Connecticut. Like the Groton Skate Park was my shit back in the day. And we knew mutual skaters, and somehow met each other on the internet. And then I bugged out, because though him and Copyright somehow know each other. I mean, they're both from Cleveland or whatever. So, you know, I don't know the specifics of what charge he caught or whatever, but he did a stint like a summer or whatever in prison. And Pat was the one who took the footage of him being like, yo, you got to pay the piper. I'm going in. I'm taking care of business. You know, this is my summer. Peace out. You know, it was really weird. It was like, is this real? I don't know how I know somebody who knows this. You know, it was a long time ago now. Maybe, shit. I don't know. Whenever Copy caught that Dewey, Like, he rhymes about it in his record, so I'm not, you know, I'm not putting anybody on blast for nothing that's not already.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. But. No, I definitely remember that. We had some private combos about that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the first one, the first time that copyright hit my radar with people I knew was with Blackistan. Blackistan back in like 08, 09 was like, yo, copyright came through. This guy's an animal. He was like throwing Chinese food down the hallway of a motel somewhere or whatever. Like, I guess they were all hanging out and he's just like, fucking Chinese food, bleh! Just threw it, you know? I don't know.
And yeah, copy's a wild dude. And yo, wait till you hear his verse, you know, on this, this cipher track. Cause like I said, all these are like tracks opening up about, you know, our mental health and like, personal experiences with suicide and our own, you know, mental health shit. And like, dude, his verse is just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's dope. But like, I can't wait to drop these ciphers. They're going to be really, really impactful. And like to have iconic artists like that, you know, really opening up on those kind of issues is super important. And in my opinion, just super dope.
Yeah. Copyright, by the way, has one of the most real songs on Spotify.
What, that Trouble joint?
Yep, I'm looking right at it. It already, it's Spotify platinum. Man. It's got a million now. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, his parents passed, and, you know, he talks about that a lot in that song, and, like, his own struggles with alcoholism and all of that, you know, like, he's a perfect dude to be involved in a tour like this, you know, like, he's all in with the cause, because he's been there, and he's dealt with it, and all the artists are, really, you know what I mean?
Well, you know something else about copyright, too, is there was a point in that dude's career where, you know, Eastern Conference... He's doing records with like Cage. He's going on tour with LP. You know, he came up in Megahertz with like Camuteo. You know, these guys were all, you know, doing amazing records and actually making impactful music in hip hop. Like, he was the punchline king, you know?
Yep.
So I'm sure he can even deal with the fact that the fame at one point was probably going to his head. You know what I mean? There had to be a point in, you know, I don't know. I've never had anybody like congratulate
even me. You know, even like mega popularity on like a local level, dude, can get to you and can fuck with you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. it can absolutely happen, and you can start to feel crazy pressure, you know what I'm saying? And like, because, you know, when you start to travel and tour and you have like a following of people, you start to see people that like you don't know at all, you know what I mean? And they're there to support you and hear you perform the songs that they know of yours, and you know, it's all great. But like locally around the way, these are all people that you know, like, right. You know what I mean? And like, you feel a different kind of pressure around them, and like it can really get to you, for sure. So I definitely know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I had my MySpace fame for like 15 minutes at one point, but other than that, you know, I don't have any direct experience, but I've seen how it affects people, you know. Coincidentally, I've seen how lightning strikes around people around me and shit, but...
Right.
Yeah, man, tell me about this album, because I'm going to tell you a little about what's going on with me real quick. I got this album that I'm cooking. It's like half done. It's called Becoming Nobody. And I'm going the Kanye West route where I'm making my own beats and my own raps and I'm putting it out. And there's a whole shitload of self-doubt and, you know, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. And, you know, I'm fighting with myself to get this shit done, but I'm close to being done. And every time I see one of my artist friends finish a project, I'm like, yes, thank you. I need some motivation. Like, you got to tell me how you accomplish. You know, you're an accomplished musician, my friend. You know, I got respect for you. Like, seriously, it's there.
Thank you.
So, like, yeah, I'll cut that off. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that every time you do anything creative, and plus you orchestrated it with a bunch of real people, too. You know, there's really good production on your record. You know, there's really good features. You know, right now, I mean, I told you I'm annoyed with Pace One. I'm, you know... I'll get to him, but he's on my album with like a really dope verse, and I need to reach out to this dude.
No doubt.
It's like every step of the way I'm finding some sort of reason to not get shit done. Like, I'm fighting with myself every day. So what I respect about it is not for you. You're just like, nah, no problem. This is, It's in the can. I got it. Here it is. Boom.
New. Oh, no, nah, man. I wouldn't say that at all, man. No. It's been, nah, like in, what was it, 2015 or 2016, I quote unquote retired from, you know, being a solo hip hop artist.
I remember that.
And started a band and spent, you know, 4 or 5 years doing the band thing. I was in like a ska punk band and we were touring and, you know, putting out records and doing big things, and it was a lot of fun, and it was something I felt like I had to do at that point in my career. I had also just gotten like a job, like I got a job offer and, like, you know, started actual like career, and you know, I just felt like, you know, because for the last 4 years or so I was doing hip-hop full-time, like that's how I was paying my bills, paying my child support, rent, all of that shit. And like, you know, I was actually doing it and I was so proud of that. But like when I saw my, like, my escape route, you know, I was kind of all about it, you know, and I just wanted to, I felt like I needed to like reinvent myself and, and do some different things. So like I started a band and you know, that was a lot of fun, but I also like kept having to change members, dude, because things wouldn't work out with this guitarist or this bassist, or, you know, it was just like time and time again, you know, for whatever reason, because the end of the day, it was like, it was my band, like Deuce Bug's band. It wasn't I started, you know what I'm saying? It was always an extension of what I was doing.
This is why I started a rap career, because I got sick of starting bands. I got kicked out of a band once because of a disagreement with a dude. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, oh, you don't have good enough skills. Like, I'd start bands, and then the bassist moved to Hawaii, and I completely lost track of the guy who's like, well, I'm going to go Hawaii. And then, like, a month later, I got a letter like, this is where I live now. All right, cool. Yep. Just gone forever into the ethos. You know, just when you have to be a unit with a tribe of people, it's just tough. All musicians eventually know they're going to break up. Like, yeah, we can't do this forever. It's just can't.
Me too. And it's so much easier being solo. You know what I'm saying? Which is ultimately why I decided to just, you know what? I thought I was done with it, but you know what? I'm just going back to being a solo musician. And I had like 5-6 songs, punk songs that I wrote for my band. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to record them and release them under Deuce Bug. I'm going to put them on my new album, and I'm going to release an album that I'm going to work on some new hip hop material too. And I'm going to put out an album that's got all of that shit. It's going to have punk rock music, hip hop music, and it's going to be all over the place, but it's going to be 100% me. And that's what I decided to do. And, you know, like you said, I reached out to some really dope producers who had my back and got some features from really awesome artists. I purposely did not reach out to any like industry artists for any kind of features or anything like that.
I was like, all right, he's not reaching. Capadonna doesn't have a verse on your shit.
Nah, exactly, dude. I kept it 100% like indie and like the homies, you know what I'm saying? Even though like people like Capadonna are the homies, like I wanted it to be grassroots to the point of, these are the people that I've really grinded in the trenches with.
You know what's funny?
And can understand that identify with that.
I know the feeling though, because I had opportunities in 2009. I could have gotten legitimately a verse from Kool G Rap. Now, I respect Kool G Rap to no end. You know, he's one of the goats of the game. But I don't have any place doing a song of Kool G Rap, really. Like, how authentic is it? I don't see this guy every day. I don't bump into him at the grocery store or anything, you know? So, and it felt kind of weird being like, all right, well, if I come up with the money, but it's like, does this mean I'm trying to buy my way into the whole hip hop shit? You know, I couldn't pull the trigger on it. And I remember at the time, Columbeyond, he was doing a bunch of production for me for Mindflex, the first album I put out. And he called a point blank. It's like, you know, on his side of the fence, he's just trying to feed his family, and it wouldn't be a bad move for you to do that for him, you know, if you look at it that way. But at the same time, to him, you're just some white boy from Connecticut that wants to rap. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not legit. I mean, it's another thing if, like, you two have a rapport somehow and it's a mutual respect thing. But It's not always a bad move to make a play to work with somebody who's at that caliber of emceeing or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not. But in the end, I was like, nah, this is not the move. It doesn't feel like an authentic move. It feels like it just felt wrong. You know, why do it if it feels wrong?
Exactly. You know? It's all about the feel, you know, like I was very lucky that all of the, you know, artists bigger than me that I ever collaborated with, I didn't like pay really, or, you know, it was at most, it was like built on something like maybe a show booking or something like that. But in most cases it was just off of respect and like actually building with them in the studio on a song. And like, you know, a lot of the peace pipe being passed around you know what I mean? And just building, you know, on this music stuff. And like, I'm very proud of that, you know what I'm saying? Because you're right, when it feels unauthentic, it's very tough to really get behind. And too many people do that, and you can tell it's just like, it's very forced and weird and not, you know, not hidden. So
I definitely
respect what you're saying.
When I was a younger artist, you know, I had a legit record deal. Like, I got pushed to, labels that had some money flowing through them. And I remember feeling so cringy at these meetings of like what they were looking for, what they wanted me to do. It's not the way, you know, if somebody's forcing an agenda onto you, it's just inauthentic and it's not worth it. You know, if I could get any point across to a young artist, you know, whatever cookie trail they're offering you, like, hey, you know, if you sound like this, or if you say this, or try to go about what you do doing it this way, you know, you'll probably be able to build something. There is a process of selling your soul to the devil for the music industry, and anybody can do it, you know?
Right, which is why it feels so much better to be where I'm at right now, just releasing music because I want to and because I love it, then rather than like because I feel like I have to or obligated or, you know, having pressure to do it. It's 100% me, and, you know, I understand that like most people could really give a shit about, you know, an album that's got punk rock on it or hip hop, because like, a lot of people aren't like me. They don't like all of these different genres of music. And I get that. But like, I also just don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, it's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. So like, hey,
you're making the music for you and fuck what they like. If they don't like it, they can tune out. Fuck them. Have a nice life.
Exactly. Because I came back to doing it because I didn't want to stop doing it anymore. I wanted to keep doing it. It's really got nothing to do with nobody else but me.
Yeah.
And like the fact that I still am blessed to be around so many beautifully talented people that still are down to work with me, you know, it's amazing, but it's also like, it makes things very cohesive and makes it, you know, make sense. So it's just like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, you know what I mean? So same thing with the tour, you know, it's like all of this came together in a time where I was putting this huge tour together. So it's like, I'm performing on it. These are going to be my first shows as Deuce Bug in 6 years. And, you know, I can't tell you how
long since you've gripped the mic solo.
Yeah. 2015.
Yeah. I kind of understand where you're coming from, 'cause I haven't performed since the coronavirus started. I really am itching to touch the mic somewhere. I was doing shows with, I was with Matty Cypher doing a bunch of shows in New Haven, you know, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of the bar. Anyway, you know, I was doing bar gigs.
Stella Blues?
Yes, Stella Blues. Thank you so much. Yeah, I did a couple shows there. I had good rapport with the people there. It kind of felt like it was going to go somewhere, you know, and then the whole thing happened. And the benefit, see, I have a really good day job. I'm blessed, you know. I did the college thing. I did the studying late nights and sacrificing a bunch of shit while trying to get music off the ground. And also just, you know, so it's just nice to book shows and not really have any kind of a care whether or not it's super successful or whatever. It's just fun to perform, man. Like, I just have fun with this shit.
Yeah.
Guess who just arrived here? I just got a message from this guy, Jeff Chimura. Anyway, he'll be joining us soon, folks. He's going to be like, oh, my God, you started without me? It's like, yeah, man, we're half an hour in. This is Deuce Bug, you know? So
whatever. Yeah, and unfortunately, I do have to cut out in a sec. But yeah,
glad that
everything's good and he's there.
Hey,
and
when can you come through for a session? I think it would be fantastic, dude. When you asked me for some production for this record you put out, I look at people's souls when I make beats. I know that sounds kind of whack, but when we did the Kick Rocks joint, before I met you, I made something off the whole vibe, off of just kind of like what I perceived of you, and I made something cool, and it came out. I'm actually going to play it at the end of this.
And it's one of my most popular songs ever. You know, I know you're like a modest dude. You're not going to say something like that, but I will. Brash produced one of my top three popular songs of all time. It's got a video. Check it out. It's called Kick Rocks, and it's a banger. And there's no other way to put it. You absolutely murdered that beat. Came through to the utmost.
Word. Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that, but if you and I hung out, blazed a little tree, talked about, like, what kind of vibe you going for, like, what kind of mood you in, like, hey, what, you know, I took a year during the coronavirus, and I sat down, and I learned how to play piano, so I figure out stuff that I want to do, and I just play it now. It's the most fantastic part of doing what I do. I just play keys, man. I make things sound like...
Sick.
Like, I don't know if you heard that beat at the beginning. It's like our new intro or whatever. That's the one. Hey, Jeff, sit down for a second. Say hi to this guy. This guy's just cracking beer open and you just wandered in. No, so just say hi real quick. This is the guest for the show. This is Deucebug. This is the co-host, Jeff Chimura. We're going to do more time together on the mic and stuff. Say hi. Can you hear? Can you hear anything? Oh, hey.
I don't hear nothing.
Try it now. I'm sorry.
What's up, bud?
Hi, Jeff. How's it going, man?
Yeah, this is we call him the Chimichanga. He's America's favorite arborist, killing trees from here to Timbuktu. You know what I'm saying? But
there you go.
Yeah, if you ever want to come through, man, I'm telling you, if you can
block out it up.
Four hours of time. We will make a banger. Like, if you have a couple of six, come through with like 3 16s and like a rough hook idea, throw it at me, and you will be amazed at what I can whip up. I was trying to do a live YouTube show for a while before that kind of like fell apart.
No doubt. I know we tried to do the Zoom meeting beat making session that technologically failed.
Yeah, but
yeah, man, let's set it up. I'm down.
We'll make
I'm
fire. Down. We'll make magic happen. Because you're trying to do an EP with Chuck, right?
We are. That's what's up next. We got the Pluto Brothers album coming out, and I already got a bunch of beats lined up for that. So,
well, you're gonna need some more from me because I'm seeing. Like,
I would love it.
A
I would
Bad
love it.
Meets Evil slash Method Man Red Man like punchline back and forth, like, you know, cooking it in the air type shit. That's what I say for that. So I could help.
All right.
I could help. I mean, you know, just come through. I have a connect for some really nice tree. And I mean, I don't know why I'm getting low about cool. I keep it cool and low, even though it's legal now. You know, shout outs to Connecticut for making it real. Right?
Yes, yeah. Dude. Definitely. Yeah. Shout outs to AGL too, who is sponsoring Tour for Life.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Who's AGL? Just for the
Advanced
listener.
Grow Labs, advancedgrowlabs.com, one of the leading medicinal grow labs for medical marijuana patients in Connecticut. However, I'm sure they will be heavily involved in whatever, you know, becomes of the legal industry as well.
My sister Tanisha probably knows them very well. She's always getting the hookup.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, they're good people, man. But Deuce, I'm proud of you, man. This album, it's fire. I love the promotional material you put together for it, man. You know.
Thank you. Oh, that's crazy because like this tour in August has been my number one focus, and I did not put the promotion behind this album that I should have. Dropped it anyway just because I wanted to, but it's always been 100% about the tour. So once the summer's over, I'll be putting a little more focus into actually promoting these songs and videos that I'm shooting for it and all of that. But I do appreciate you appreciating the little bit of effort I have been able to put forth with it so far.
What's
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, what's the jump off date? When and where is your first show?
The tour starts in Long Island in Oakdale at Shakers on August 26th. Yeah. So Thursday night.
So Jeff's just joining us, and you never know who might just be tuning in too. Can you hit him with the lineup of people? We should go to the show, you and me, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit I'm sure. Let him know.
So like I just said, it's the 26th in Long Island with Diabolik and Pace One at Shakers. Then the 27th, we're at Electric Haze in Worcester with Brother Ali and Acrobatic. Then the 28th, we're in Manchester, New Hampshire at Jewel with Ritz and Copyright. And the grand finale is Sunday, August 29th at the Klein Theater in Bridgeport, outdoor concert space with Rakim, Capadonna from Wu-Tang, Jen Durkin, Steal Your Funk, Chesky, Copyright, bunch of
that's
really,
the big
really
one
dope
that we're
artists.
Probably yeah. gonna be at, you and me.
Yeah. Hope to see you there.
Yeah,
tickets are on sale now. So follow Full Blast Booking on all social media platforms. We've got all the ticket links everywhere because we've been promoting it like crazy.
Do me a favor, because in the show notes, that's the first thing that comes up when people who subscribe to the show, you know, their podcast feed, it feeds them like whatever link or whatever. So we'll for the listener, it's in the show notes. Just click the link, buy a ticket, and we'll see you at the show, you know?
Word. So, thank you. Yes. Yeah,
so word. So I know all you right, gotta man, get well, going. So
yeah, and thank you for having me, man. I appreciate definitely.
It. It was awesome. Deucebug, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck yes. Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Brash. Thanks, buddy. Peace.
Later. Peace. You
what?
A little behind the eight ball, but we're here. I love you, man. I'm glad you're here.
I had my nephew's birthday party.
No, I understand. I understand. I just the timing was a little whack because he was like, no, I don't want to start at 9:30. Like he wanted to be off the phone by 9:30, you know? Because like I understand where he's coming from because I got my kids, but as an artist, you try to like, all right, I do all my shit here, and then like this time is specific, like I shed the bullshit and I just focus on family, and that's what he was planning on doing. So, well, you were focusing on family as well. So how old is your nephew now?
He is 22.
Oh shit. I thought you were going to be like 7. This is the kid who just graduated from college or whatever, or high school.
He just graduated from Boston University.
Yep. So he's making more than you and I combined.
I don't know.
It's not a contest, but probably. Because Boston University is one of those schools like, oh, yeah, Boston University. You know what the secret benefit is of going to any college?
What?
Is you get hired by other people that went to the same school as you. That's 99% of why you get the degree. Is because when I see people from the same school as me, I go, oh, yeah, put him through. Yeah. That validates my bullshit education if this guy also gets hired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes sense, but yeah. And I have the stinger set up. So that's a fart. I just wanted to make a fart sound in your face because it amuses me. It makes me happy. But yeah, the actual stinger is on here now. I'm not going to play it again, but how are you? I'm so happy your hair.
I'm doing good.
Pam killed it tonight too, by the way. I went to a cover band show. Alanis Morissette, Stone Temple Pilots, and the Foo Fighters. And my friend Pam does the Alanis Morissette shit and killed it. So good. So perfect. It's weird. It's weird when somebody does somebody else's song so well.
I'm assuming they played You Ought to Know.
Of course. Yep. That was, I think, the finale. Killed it. Everybody loved it. There's probably like 50, 60 people there.
Where was it?
Milldale, right on the border to Cheshire in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The fuck is the place called? Yeah, unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the place. The Tipping Chair, a bar called The Tipping Chair. Just, you know, they had their section of the parking lot. It was an outdoor gig. They killed it. Would have had fun. I wish you weren't busting your ass doing the arborist thing. Otherwise, I would have had you come with us and the kids, you know. We got French fries and chicken.
Oh, I definitely would have went.
Yeah, it was great. Great time.
Is the band she played with, is that like a normal band she plays with, or?
Yeah, I mean, they gig out enough, you know. Because she hit me up like, hey, you should come to my show. And I said, I would love to come to your show. Unfortunately, I have the kids this weekend. And she was like, bring them. So it was like, all right. I made it rain for the band real quick with my kids. Fink, fink, fink. But as soon as Pam was done, they were like, all right, let's get out of here, Dad. It's like they wanted to see Pam. My daughter loved seeing a female role model singing on stage.
Yeah, I bet.
Dude, it was awesome. I got to show you some pictures of her just like looking at Pam like, wow, you know, it was great. You know, you want to see your daughter with happiness, enjoying something. Oh, yeah. Part of having a daughter, too, is you're always like worried that the world's telling them they can't do shit. And it's good to see a woman doing something. I mean, most people doing music are dudes, but she's up there doing music. So it's sending the message like, yeah, you can do it, too, if you want. You know, in a way. So. Comment, Jimmy? Jimmy, comment?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but. Yeah.
Did you have birthday cake at this thing? Or what was the celebration? Oh, it was his birthday, right? That's what it was for? 22? Yep. You just told me that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some cake. We had some.
Did you give him a gift?
I gave him cash.
Ah, that's the best. My uncle hooked me up. I'm 22, and he gave me cash. Bravo. Fucking bravo, Jeff Chimura. Being a smart human being. Every time now something comes up where I'm like, oh, this is a special thing, and we're going to get this done, and we're going to celebrate whatever this is, and this is the key person for that, give him fucking money. Give them the cash because they're going to appreciate the cash way more than any bullshit you decided that they want.
Yeah.
Here's the option for what you want versus this is what you want. Go fuck yourself if you don't want it. Because if somebody gives you a gift that you don't want, you got to be like, oh, thank you so much.
Well, what I always thank do you. Is just on the off chance they don't like it, I give them the receipt so they can return it.
Just want. Even here, we got to hit it again. Just a fucking amazing gentleman among men. That is what the chimichanga is. He understands. You understand the core of humanity. Not only do you give them the gift, but you say, hey, if I picked out some shit, here's the fucking ticket to get out of this contract. You can get out of this social contract. Just, you got to go back to Bed Bath & Beyond. And return the toaster. You'll get the $40 back, sort of. Or you'll get store credit. But then you're stuck in that store. You buy somebody something from somewhere, you're really being like, you have to shop at the store if you give them the gift receipt. You got to go back to Best Buy. You got to go back to fucking KB Toy Store. Remember KB Toy Store?
Oh, yeah.
They had the fucking ill X-Men collection. All the rare X-Men figures of the 90s. That was where you got that shit.
I wish I knew what happened to all mine.
Who is your favorite X-Man?
Wolverine.
Like top to bottom Wolverine?
Yeah.
I like Cyclops.
Only cops like Cyclops.
I'm not a cop. I'm the opposite of a cop. I'm a ruffian. I'm a law-breaking ruffian.
If Cyclops is your favorite X-Man growing up, you're a cop.
I like him because he's got a pussy superpower, but he still rolls with some heavy hitters. That's why I like him, because even though he is...
Wait, how is laser beam eyes pussy?
In comparison to Jean Grey and Professor X and Beast even, and Wolverine, every other X-Men on the X-Men can beat the ever-living piss out of Cyclops. If you like Cyclops, you're a cop. No, you like Cyclops, you understand what it means to be special, but misunderstood. I think. He is kind of a Boy Scout.
Goody two-shoe.
Over the top. Don't drive too fast. No, you might get hurt. I'm Cyclops. What if you made Cyclops like... you know, less of a Boy Scout? What if you made him like a badass, like a dude? I just came up with the best Marvel character ever. You want to hear me out? I'll pitch it. Pitch it right now to the drawing board at Marvel. Cyclops, right? But with the skill set of the Punisher. Okay. Mic drop.
Does he still have the laser beam eyes?
Laser beam eyes, but all the ability to kill your ass. Like the Punisher. Mic drop. Mic drop. That's a fucking badass character.
Well, that's just like putting two characters together.
Yeah, it's a mush. I mean, all the characters have been thought of. Oh, here's a new one. A guy who breathes underwater and talks to... Oh, that's Aquaman. All right. A dude that can control the weather. Well, we have a girl who can do that. Storm. It's all been thought of. Think of a thing. A guy who can shrink really teeny tiny... Ant-Man. Oh, you know, a guy who gets pissed off and turns green. That's the Hulk.
Yeah, I know.
That's our... Yeah, it's endless. Yeah, think of a superpower. Your point of reference will be other things with superpowers. You're not coming up with any brand new superpowers. Actually, I can. Hypnotic gas. My power is to go to the mall and get on elevators with people and release my hypnotic gas. And when they get off of the elevator, they have to do exactly as I say. They're my slaves for life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mind control?
Mind control, but through passing gas on an elevator. So they get on the elevator with me and I... And then as soon as they go... Like, you are now under my control.
Yeah, I don't think that one's been thought of.
That's new.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. What a dog shit power. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I can't remember what it was called. And they came up with an X-Men. There were guys just, like, batting the, you know, the idea ball around. And they were like, the X-Men I come up with is Ephendra. She is super offensive to all people. You know, whatever you're offended by, she magnifies that, and you just feel offended around this character at all times. I thought that was pretty cool. That was a new superpower. What else we got? Kind of other superpowers we got. They work pretty good, don't it?
Arthritia.
Arthritia.
Just has really bad arthritis.
My name's Arthritia, and my power is to not be able to open the car door because my hands hurt. Arthritia. That's from Rick and Morty, right? Yeah. That's the girl name that they came up with. The phony girl name. Leonard is a girl name.
Leonard.
Lenny. Double Lenny. Lenny squared, you know? But, yeah, man, I'm happy that you're here. Yeah. So it was good. I can't believe how well today went, as far as it did. You know, I was productive. I was happy. I got shit. I mean, I didn't clean the apartment at all. My shit is wrecked right now.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad, but it needs to be improved. You know, I mean, if you look at the floor beneath you, there is a pile of laundry. It's time to clean laundry. Hello, everybody. I'm Ephendra. The clean laundry on the floor. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. I had a seizure.
So
I started pushing all the sorts of buttons.
Today was your kid's first show.
Yeah, the first show they've been to as like ticket holders. They've seen another band perform, but we, like, walked up to them. This was, like, the first time it was planned. The first time we were like, okay, we're going to go to this at this time and do this. This was the thing. Yeah, and my daughter loved it, which is what was important to me. I really hope my daughter discovers music. It would make her so happy, I think, because she gets stressed out at the world. She can attack the world with music. It's powerful. It's powerful to attack the world with music, so... Yeah, I wish you were here. You got to listen back to this episode for the first half that you weren't here for. Yep. Sorry I started without you. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk to him.
But, no, that's fine.
The dude is super insightful. You know, the guy's doing a tour that completely supports, like, mental health. Whatever money the guy's drawing from the tour, it's got to be minimal for himself, if it even exists at all. I don't know. I never, you know, I never bother to know people's financial business. I don't care. You know, everybody's got to survive, but, you know, the benefit that he's getting to people just for being him. You know, we talked about, like, being hip-hop artists and how, like, you know, when we're insane, it's supposed to be cool. Like, oh, man, it's cool to be crazy, or I'm too tough to try to admit that I have a problem with mental health and shit. It was really insightful, man. It was good. So you'll enjoy that. Yeah, Deucebug is good people. You know, my album is like half done. Maybe a little more than half done now. I'm going to start recording. I've got a vacation coming up. I'm going to do a bunch of recording. We're going to get that done. You know.
Right.
Just can't wait to release this material. Years and years and years of studying and just trying and doing this shit. It's coming together, but it's a fight. Like I was saying to Deucebug, it's a fight to get shit done, you know?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that at work? Do you ever have to, like, wrestle with yourself to do whatever they put in front of you?
Like, sometimes.
Yeah.
But usually I just fucking buck up and do it.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Get her done.
Get her done, Jimmy. Get her done.
Yeah, I fight resistance constantly. I am constantly like, no, you have to get this done, fighting with myself and stuff. So, yeah, so by the way, Deucebug did a joint. I did a production for him. Let me pull up YouTube. Somebody just IM'd me in the middle of looking at my computer, which, of course, caused a big, loud, annoying notification for someone in the car as they drive really fast and try not to hit other people while you drive. I'm doing the show. Yeah. Great. That was exactly what I needed for this. But anyways, who are you talking to? So I produced this joint for Deucebug. It's called Kick Rocks. Yeah, I'm going to let it play out, and then I'm going to get you to tell me what your feedback was. I don't think anything's coming through.
Well, it's not playing. You gotta click play.
I did, but for whatever reason, it wasn't playing. Still not playing. I feel like I should have heard it. Okay, here we go.
Come on! Yeah! What up? Deucebug CT for blast! Mind's eye shit! What up, Rash? Yeah! Magnetic, yes! Full blast! Kick rocks! What kick rocks? Yeah, check it out, yeah. Full blast the rock bands, my band for life. Smash mics and mic stands, get banned for life. These biddies screaming my lyrics and they mans is tight. Yeah, I'm getting under his skin like a parasite. Just give me two nickels and a pair of mics, and I'ma get the crowd sweating off the Fahrenheit. Yeah, there's something in the air tonight. So beware, we prepared, B. Don't be scared to fight for the cause. Step up, so whatever you rep up, that rebellious intelligence, throw your intellect up. Cause to get it, I go with what I got from the neck up, while filling my head up with sense till I get stuck. My mind's gleaming, one time for the rhyme scheming, inclined for the time beating, shine brighter than light beams. And I'm designed to divide and slide, contrive blind heathens. And they feeding you lies, but my mind's eye seen it. So kick rocks and piss off, and fuck you just like you flicked off. You pissed on, you pissed off. cause my fist's up and I'm ready for liftoff. So kick rocks, this is hip hop. I'm a time bomb ready to rip and I tick tock. You pissed off cause my click tip top. So keep talking shit, bitch, please kick rocks. And if you don't like what I have to fucking say, then turn around and walk your ass the fuck away. I'm built to last, I'll never pass the fuck away. Full blastical, mathematical, radical fucking A. Yeah, you know me, I rep the 203. And if you don't see what's happening, then you don't see. Deuce Bug and Chuck Nichols be the duo we gonna take this fucking spaceship to Pluto B. The full blast ambassadors gathering the masses. We're Wesley Sniper rifling with 57 passengers, rolling thick as his skin of 57 Pachyderms. Sucking Medusa's neck and I spit the venom back at her. Attacking her, smacking her, it's attracting her. Cocking my flux capacitor, blow out the fucking back of her. Lack of a better term, I'm rapping to cause a rapture. My sides bust holes in walls, so call me aperture. So kick rocks and piss off and fuck you just like you flicked off. You pissed on, you pissed off, cause my fist's up and I'm ready for liftoff. So kick rocks, this is hip hop. I'm a time bomb ready to rip and I tick tock. You pissed off cause my click tip top. So keep talking shit, bitch, please kick rocks. Shit's fake, looking something like a dick face. Photoshopping a Bentley on the cover of your mixtape. Fix face, homie, get this shit straight. You dicks hate, but really wanna switch place. You wanna switch places, you wanna switch faces. Yo, slow down, killer, you gotta switch paces. You disgraces, your shit's tasteless. Full blast, don't bring the basics back. Beta college frat rap reps the vulture. It's got no roots and disrespects the culture. My roots are pyramids, I see clear with this. Society got y'all sweating image and appearances. And I wish that it all would lead. No leaders, just followers and wrongful deeds. But I'm as hip-hop as it was all a dream. Back when jeans had enough room for the balls to breathe. No, I don't got swag, and I don't got bling. And no, I won't dance, and I cannot sing. And I dare not bring anything but that real hip-hop. These Tim Stomp, Pink Flip Flop. Your shit's pop, take it back where it came from. Make it snap, cause y'all rap the same. Same, son, cause y'all raps are lame, son. I'm from another planet, we don't rap the same, son. So kick rocks and piss off and fuck you just like you flicked off. You pissed on, you pissed off, cause my fist's up and I'm ready for liftoff. So kick rocks, this is hip hop. I'm a time bomb ready to rip and I tick tock. You pissed off cause my click tip top. So keep talking shit, bitch, please kick rocks. Full blast, what up? Chuck Nichols, what up? White Cheddar, Meta Music, Mo Nichols, what up? BC, what's good? Lighter, what's good? Bomb Jack, on my mind's eye, Riders, what's good? PA, what up? Jay Ray, what up? Kenny Cash, Murphy Scats, my dude Pace, what up? Full blast, full blast, full blast, blah, 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 blah,
blah. Proud of that. I am so proud of that. I produced that joint. That was a beat that I designed for the dude. You want to hear a secret about that, though, that nobody knows? What? You got to keep this between you and me.
Okay.
That beat, I got the sample. You could tell. Could you tell where the sample was from? Do you know where that's from?
No.
Good. I'm going to leave it there. Do you know where the snare drum came from? Nowadays, everybody want to talk, but they got something to say. But nothing comes out. I stole it. That was doc. I sampled it off of Forgot About Dre with Eminem and Dre. Because I like the snare in that song. So I just found in that song like a... So that entire snare throughout that whole thing is from Forgot About Dre. Because I like to sample stuff. Fuck it. But... Yeah, I added some metaverb to it and made it like a different snare, but essentially the ghost of it came from there. And then I sampled Led Zeppelin. So it's Led Zeppelin, Dr. Dre, and Deuce Bug. I don't think Deuce Bug knew, or knows rather, that that snare came from Dr. Dre, but fuck it. Come on, Dr. Dre, sue us for the song. Yeah, that would be just that. That is the dance, you know. If you get sued by anything for sampling, it's like, well, now I got some notoriety because I got this lawsuit that everybody wants to look at for me sampling you. Come on, man! Don't take his money, man! Come on, man! Don't take his money, man!
Well, if you sample it and alter it,
they don't care.
No.
No. They just don't. I mean, that's how the law, if you sample anything, if somebody samples this podcast of me saying something, I own the rights to the recording. Whatever recording you initially create, you own the rights to. If somebody samples it, it's a sample. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you own that sample. So you're within your legal right to sue whoever. But, I mean, this is hip hop. And I think if you run a Big Brother for anything, you are a bitch. A bitchola. A bitcheroony. A bitch ski.
Yeah.
A chimichanga.
Nah.
Come on. Jeff, we did it. We have another hour in the books, and this is episode 10. Now I'm going to have a beer with you. We're going to go say hi to my kids who are playing video games upstairs.
Yeah.
And then hang out, right?
Yeah.
This is the Brass Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. Jeff Tremura, America's favorite arborist. I mean, nurseryman. I mean, silly little bitch. It's the Brass Show. Every day it's the Brass Show. For 1,000 years, it's the Brass Show. Every fucking day. Till the earth flies into the sun. It's the Brass Show. And I'm an asshole. And you're an asshole. And it's the Brass Show. Yeah, bitch! Ha ha ha! Pretty cool intro song, right? You chose it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Peace.